In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Many happy returns to you all. Happy New Year. We wish and pray that this coming year is better than the one that left, and we're all growing in the knowledge and love of the Lord. Actually, when I was thinking of what to speak about this evening, I was thinking about every year we pass a year, and we look forward to a new year. And we look at the past and see what we can learn for the future. And it reminded me of a verse that St. Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to those things that are ahead. This is what I'd like to speak about this evening. With a show of hands, how many of us were in our car one time and you had the emergency brake on and you hit the gas and you tried to go? Come on. You guys never did that? Raise your hand high. Don't be shy. I did it many times, right? So you get in your car, and you're ready to go, and you hit the gas, and you're like, why isn't the car going? Because the emergency brake is on. One time, I think I did it, so I wasn't sure what was wrong, so I hit the gas harder, and then smoke started coming out of the tires. So what is the brake here? The brake is the past. As what St. Paul was saying, we have to let go of the past, forgetting those things which are behind, and looking forward to those things which are ahead. What St. Paul is saying here, that there are some things in the past that we have to forget and let go of. Forgetting those things in the past and looking forward to things, those things that are ahead. St. Paul says here, he says, "I do not count myself as have apprehended." Apprehended is something that we do that it's tangible, something physically, to seize, to possess, to apprehend. And then he says, forgetting those things which are behind. But forgetting is something that is of a mental function. So what he's saying here is that forgetting of the past is not only something that is mental, but is something we have to do and we have to strive for. It is something we do on purpose. So I'll speak to you briefly about just two points. What are the things in the past that I should be forgetting in order to move forward in my relationship with God? And two, how do I forget? What are the things that we should forget in the past that might hinder our growth? The first thing is that we should forget the wounds and hurts that people have inflicted on us. We should look and consider in this past year, and maybe in the past, you know, life, because sometimes we can carry these things from year to year, and look past to see what are the things that people hurt you with or said to you that we need to let go of in order to move forward. Memory of things that are hurtful are oftentimes difficult to forget, especially if somebody did something that was hurtful. But it's not in our hand to change the past, but it's in our hand to forget the past. We can't change the things that have happened to us in the past, but we can forget them. There are many youth who struggle, and many, maybe you as well, the parents, have struggled from things that our parents have done to us in our past. And maybe not only the youth, but like I said, you as well. Maybe your parents did something to you in the past that you're left struggling with all of your life. And it really takes a toll on a growing adult to let go of these things and to get past these things. And it's really emotionally taxing and draining, and it's very difficult. I know many girls have spent many nights crying, and many guys as well, struggling with a certain past that they have struggled with, maybe that was caused by their parents. What are some of these things? Sometimes some parents might make fun of their children, and this might be something that really takes a toll on the kids. We might think it's good fun, but to them, it's really hurtful. Sometimes we might compare our kids with others. So our children would grow with the sense of, I'm not good enough, no matter what I do. If the child grows, I'm not good enough for my parents, then I'm not good enough for anybody, because my parents should be the ones that love me the most. Maybe there's some physical abuse as well. Sometimes if a child is dealing with a very aggressive and violent father, this is something that takes a toll on the child. There are many girls who might enter into a marital relationship and struggle with this point, that I had a very harsh father, so you'll find that she's having a hard time trusting her husband and believing that he can protect her and care for her. Sometimes we abandon our children in times of need. The child really needs their father or their mother, and they're not there. Whether it be for work or for whatever it is, to the child it doesn't matter why you're not there. But to the child it is, mom and dad is not here when I need them. And of course, no parent does this willfully. You know, this is something no parent does on purpose, usually. But it's something maybe that just, you know, sometimes we're not aware of. And there are many examples of those individuals in the Old Testament who were able to forget their past to be able to move forward in their relationship with God and in their life, not just in their spiritual life. Let's take Joseph for example. Joseph was one among 12, and as we know the story, Joseph one day went and he was wearing this colored robe and went looking for his brothers. His brothers were jealous of him because some dreams he shared with them. And out of their anger, they threw him in the well. Imagine this scenario and maybe put yourself in Joseph's shoes. You're going to find them because your father is concerned. And then all of a sudden, your brothers take you. They rip off this robe that your father put on you and threw you in a well. And do you know what the Bible says that they were doing after they threw him in the well? They sat down and they were eating. Very casually. Maybe their brother's in there, you know, saying, hey guys, come on, get me out. That's not funny anymore. But yet they left him in there. And then they said, let's take this robe and smear blood on it and kill our brother and tell our father that an animal devoured him. What do you think he's going through his mind as he listens to his brothers conspiring against him? Then Reuben comes out and says, no, let's not touch him, let's sell him, let's make some profit. So they take him out, and again, imagine what Joseph is saying to them as they see the band of Ishmaelites, and they say, how much would you give us for this young fellow? Guys, I'm your brother, don't do this. What is he going through? What kind of psychological trauma was this young lad experiencing? And he was, they say he was in his teens, 17, 18 years old, and his brothers were doing this to him. He's very fragile still. But one thing that made Joseph so successful is that he didn't focus on the past. We notice throughout the story of Joseph that he was very calm in every situation. We don't hear of any rebellion, we don't hear of any impulsive behavior. But he was very calm. And I think the reason of his success is because his past didn't cripple him. He didn't look at the past and say, that's not fair, they shouldn't have, these are my brothers, I'll never forgive them. He never said any of this. We look at David with Saul. From the moment David was anointed as king, he was fleeing from the hands of Saul for many, many years. We don't hear him say that I'm the anointed king, let me rally some troops around me and I'll go after him. We don't hear him say that. But from cave to cave, from this plain to that plain, from that mountain to that mountain, he's running like a fugitive. And anybody who maybe, you know, if we get caught speeding, or we think we get caught speeding, you ever drive down the highway and you see the cop and as soon as you pass, he turns on the lights? our heart starts to race like double the speed. Is it me or is it the guy next to me? So imagine living like this all the time. Saul's on your tail and he's coming after you. How would you lay down and put your hand, your head on a rock or a pillow? But David didn't let his past get the best of him. What if David allowed this to happen? What if he allowed himself to think about Saul and going after him? I think the rest of his life, he would have played the victim mentality. He would have had the victim mentality. Everybody is against me. I can trust nobody. Because those who were supposed to be the people who were to protect me, like the king, were the ones that are after me. As it says in the Psalms, even those who are of my household lifted up their heels against me. Can you forget the wounds of your enemies? Consider in your life those maybe who are against you and the wounds they have caused you today. What are these wounds doing to hinder your growth? If we cannot forget the past, we will not be able to focus on the future. If you look at Abraham and Lot, Abraham, when God told Abraham to take your family and go to land that I will show you, he took up himself and he left his family and his father. But his nephew Lot stuck around with him and he took him with him. And over the course of time, Abraham became very wealthy, and just by proxy, Lot became very wealthy. He learned how to be a good shepherd and to acquire land and animals and everything. Then the time came where Lot had a lot, Abraham had a lot, and the land wasn't enough for them. So they said, we have to spread apart and go to the land. So Abraham, being the kind man he is, he told Lot, look, if you go north, I'll go south. If you go east, I'll go west. You choose. So the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the land of what? Sodom and Gomorrah, is of the land that is flowing with milk and honey. So he says, I'll choose that one. Now Abraham, because he's a wise man, he said, okay, that's fine. But you and I, looking at this, we say, come on, Lot. He's the one that made you. He's your uncle. He's your elder. You give him first dibs at the land, and you take whatever's left over. But Abraham didn't hold this against him. You know how we know this? There were some kings in the surrounded area that, you know, came into the land, and they invaded it, and they took Lot, and they took him and his family and his possessions captive. As soon as Abraham found out that somebody had laid hands on Lot, he rallied some of his servants and said, we're going to go out and we're going to get Lot back. And they did. Abraham didn't remember, didn't hold it against him, but he forgave the wounds that maybe Lot has caused him in the past. Forgetting the hurts and wounds that were inflicted upon us by others. The second is forgetting the mistakes that you made in the past. This is a big deal. A lot of people cannot forgive themselves. They can't forgive themselves. They'll come into confession and maybe confess the same sin from the past more than one time. Abun, are you sure God is going to forgive me for this sin? Yes, God will forgive you. If you look at, consider the person of Moses. Moses and the course of time, after he grew up in Pharaoh's house, his mother taught him about the Jews, and he said, I'm going to deliver the people. And God was going to use him for sure, but not in the way that Abraham, that Moses thought. He went and he killed somebody. He murdered somebody. And when you kill somebody, it's not just that person that suffers, but it's the whole family, right? So what about all of the family, the children maybe that this young man had, his wife, his parents, brothers and sisters, all of the heartache that this man, that Moses caused? This guilt could lay on a person for the rest of their life. But Moses was able to forget his own mistakes. If it wasn't for Moses forgetting the past, this would have haunted him. He would have said, how can I go back to Egypt and face these people again after what I did? But you know what? It took Moses 40 years. God left him there for 40 years in the wilderness to learn how to forget. St. Paul was as well, he was a murderer, right? He witnessed and was there authorizing the stoning of St. Stephen. And St. Stephen wasn't the only one. There are many. And he threw many Christians in prison. And now when Christ appears to him, and then he goes to Ananias, and then he says he's a chosen one, and he wants to go back to the apostles. If St. Paul didn't forgive himself, he wouldn't have been the St. Paul that you and I know. He wouldn't have been able to go back and to preach all of the world at that time. And maybe we can say that St. Paul tells us when he wrote his letter to Timothy, which were the last letters he wrote before he departed. He tells us how he was able to forget, or why he was able to forgive himself. He says, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in belief. He did it ignorantly. He thought what he was doing was pleasing to God, but it wasn't. But he was able to forgive himself because, he says, I did it ignorantly. St. Peter saw the Lord Christ, heard all of his sermons, saw the miracles. He himself did miracles in the name of the Lord. And he heard all of the prophecies about Christ's death and resurrection. And he's the one who stood up and said, Lord, if everybody denies you, I won't. I will die with you. And then the Lord warned him, said, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And a few hours later, he denies him not in front of the high priest and the rulers, but denies him in front of the servant girl. And not only denied him, but he swore he didn't know him. This is a big deal. He swore he didn't know his teacher. But you know, St. Peter didn't allow this mistake to hinder his growth. He was able to forgive himself. And how do we know this? After the resurrection, when the Lord appeared to St. Peter, and he said, St. Peter, do you love me? What did he say? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. If he remembered this and wasn't able to forgive himself, he would have looked down and would have kept silent. Maybe like Judas, he wasn't able to forgive himself, and that hindered his growth. The Lord wants us to forgive ourselves once he forgives us. Lest we understand when I say forgive myself that I just have to forget about it and move on. No, the guilt of sin will remain with you unless we confess, then receive the absolution from God or from Christ through the priest, and then we forget and we can focus on the future. So we forget the things that people have done to us, the sorrows and the heartache that people have caused us, as well as the mistakes that we have made in this past year. The third thing we need to forget is to forget the sorrows and losses that we've incurred during this past year, and it may be in the past. And this loss could be the loss of a loved one, maybe the loss of a father or a mother before time, or a brother or sister. We need to be able to move past it. Now, you might say, Abuna, how can I forget a loved one? And I'm not saying here forget them as if they never were there. Of course not. And C.S. Lewis, when he lost his wife, described it nicely. He said that when a person loses a loved one, it's like an amputation, right? Where I no longer have the limb, but I learn to survive and move forward without it. You know, it's like what the forgetting it is kind of like when you go and visit somebody in a different country. I remember when I was young, we used to go to Egypt every couple of years and visit my family. And we would spend there a month and we'd visit all the family. And then on the way back, every time we would come back, when my mother was saying goodbye to her family, she was crying. And I'm like, Mom, you're going to cry again? We'll come back, God willing, in a couple of years. But she would cry, you know. But this is the forgetting that I'm referring to, is that we forget in hopes of we will see them again one day. It's as if we're traveling. You know, I forget, I'm going to move on and go forward, and I will see them soon. Okay? Because all of us, this will be our fate. Nobody's going to live on earth here forever. So we will see them soon. Forgetting also the monetary losses. For example, some people invest so much in maybe a certain area, and then all of a sudden the market crashes and they lose their money. Do you remember a few years ago, I forget what year it was, 2008 or something like that, and the market crashed, I don't know, like 50% or 40%. There are people during this year that committed suicide because of the losses that they incurred. They weren't able to forget the past. And believe me, the losses that we lose, and God has many different ways to compensate us for our losses. He really does. You know, at the end of the day, our lives are in His hands. He cares for us more than we care for ourselves. He cares for our salvation sometimes more than we care for it. So some, you know, money is going to be what's going to stop Him? No. We can worry about the money, and then just a disease can take all of our money in the bank. And God can recompensate us very easily by giving us health. Yes, you lost your money here, but you know, I'll give you health. Very easy for Him. Maybe loss of our honor. If somebody insulted us, or somebody spread false rumors about us. If you don't forget it, you will be overcome with anger and resentment and be unable to move past this hurt if somebody hurts you. There are people who are able to hold a grudge for 10, 15, 20 years. They'll remember what this person said to them 20 years ago. Until this day, they didn't forget it. And they hold it against that person. Actually, who's losing here? I'm the one that's losing when I hold this resentment. I'm holding myself down from moving forward in my life with that person and with God. So how do I forget the past? Many of you are probably like, I wonder how do you expect us to forget? You know, it's not that easy. A couple of things we can keep in mind. One is we need to be God-oriented. We need to be focused a little bit more on God. Joseph teaches us this. If you remember, after Joseph became the second man in Egypt, and he brought Jacob and all his brothers and put them in the land of Goshen, and they all dwelt there, in the process of time, Jacob passed away and they buried him. Right after Jacob died, all his brothers were scared. We said, maybe Joseph was okay with us in dealing with us nicely because of our father. But now that our father is dead, he's going to pay us back for what we did to him. So then you know what Joseph responds to them? Listen to what he says. Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? So he says to them, don't be afraid. Am I in God's place? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. So you meant evil, but God meant good. So Joseph here was focused on God's plan, not their evil, nor his pity for himself, but he was focused on God's plan. God meant it for good. And as Christians, we should live by the verse that St. Paul said, all things are good to those who love God, right? Everything happens in my life is good if you love God. So we need to focus a little bit more on God, and this will help us to forget the past. And maybe Joseph was saying, or he can say, that throughout all of these experiences that I had in my life, whether it be in the midst of the well, whether it be being sold, whether it be in prison, or whether it be on the co-throne of Egypt, God's hand was active in my life, and that's who I was focused on. He focused on God. St. Paul as well is another great example. If he remembered and held on to what he did to St. Stephen, Like I said, this could be crippling. But listen to what he says in his letter to Timothy, again, at the conclusion of his life. He says, "However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." So what is he saying here? That for this reason, the reason of his past, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering. So that way when we look and we compare ourselves to St. Paul, we'd say, okay, I'm in a little bit better shape in terms of my history than St. Paul was. St. Paul dragged the people into prison. He killed people, witnessed stoning. Okay, I didn't do that. So in comparison to St. Paul, he's the pattern. And if God was able to do this with St. Paul, who is the pattern, he can do that with what? With you and I. He can do that with you and I. He was focused on God. He wasn't focused on himself and on the past. So we need to be God-oriented, and we need to be future-oriented. Be oriented more with the future. As he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Those of us who are students, or those who are currently students, or those who are parents who have young students, who might come home with a bad grade. What do we tell them? We all say the same thing. It's okay, Habibi. Maybe we need to study harder, get you a tutor, and you'll do better what? Next time, right? You'll do better next time. So to help them, we want them to focus on tomorrow, on the future, on the next exam, and not be caught up in the past, okay? Because when we're caught up in the past, we get stuck there. And when we're stuck in the past, we can't move forward to the future. I think the beautiful illustration of this is the Lord Christ meeting with the Samaritan woman. When he met with the Samaritan woman, and after their little dialogue of give me a drink and I have no drink and I'll give you the drink that you'll never thirst again, the Lord Jesus Christ tells her something and he says, go get your husband. And he wanted to kind of pry out that little stain that's on her garment of the way that she's living. And she says to him, I have no husband. And he says to her, you have well said, you have no husband. And then he says, because you had five and the one you have now is not your husband. You know what she said afterwards? She immediately was focused on the future. She says what? Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. So she was concerned about the worship, how to worship. She didn't get caught up on her past. And you know what? The beautiful thing is, neither did the Lord Jesus. He didn't say, wait a minute, let's just handle this and let's see what the problem is with all these men and what your problem is for thinking you can find the right one after five and six times. Let's fix you first before we move on. He didn't. He was focused on the future. Who she can become. And you know what? For the very first time in her life, she felt free. She felt free. The burden of the past was no longer something she carried. And that's why the Bible says that she dropped what? The water pot. She dropped the water pot and left. Why? This water pot is a symbol of her past. She dropped the past and went and told the people, come, let me show you the person who told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? She was focused on the future. Christ didn't either. He said, the past is past. Let's move past it. Let's look forward. Let's look forward. What about those who focus on the past? You know what the Lord said? One time he went and he called some people and he told them to follow me. And one individual said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go first and bid them farewell who are at my house. Let me go bid the people at my house farewell. You know what the Lord responded to him and said? No one having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one who puts his hand on the plow and is looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's why Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. She was looking in the past. God wants us to forget the past and to move forward in our life. The third and final thing is how we forget. First, we said, is be God-oriented. The second, we said, is be future-oriented. And the last is be prepared for change. Be prepared for change. Sometimes this change is sudden. And sometimes this change goes against what you have planned. I remember as I was finishing college and going looking for work, I remember telling my father a confession, telling him, you know, I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. This is the church I grew up in and everything like that. And he told me something I'll never forget. Maybe as some of you, I've told you this before. They said there are two things you don't ask of God: the place and the time of things, because this is for him. And this is so true. If you look at the life of Moses, right? During these 40 years that he spent in the desert, so the first 40 years, he was in the house of Pharaoh. The second 40 years after he killed the Egyptian, he was in the desert. And he was a shepherd, minding his own business, tending to his family, you know, just wearing casual clothing. And then all of a sudden, he gets this vision in a bush, and God tells him, go to Pharaoh and go deliver my people. What? He's probably thinking, what are you talking about? He's going to go from wearing a simple, like, gelabeya maybe, to now he's going to wear something. He's going to go before Pharaoh, who actually wanted to kill him, right? And tell him to let the Israelites go, and then pronounce the plagues on him, one after the other. Then he's going to stand in front of a sea, lift up his hand, and guide 600,000 families across the sea, and then tend to them in the desert. This probably was not what Moses had in mind for a future. How old was he when he started this? 80. He's 80 years old. By 80 years old, we're ready, you know, to lay down and not get up again. But he's starting his mission at 80 years old. He's starting his calling. You need to be ready for change. Joseph, again, is the same. One day he found himself clothed in a striped robe. The next day he was in the well. The next day he was in Potiphar's house. The next day he was in prison. And the next day he was second man of Egypt. Would have never thought about it. So we have to be ready for change. Sometimes we resist change. And we don't want to move from one place to another because this is what I like. But maybe God has a different plan for you. Matthew the tax collector. You know the tax collectors, what are they worried about? They're worried about money, paying the government, making money, living a luxurious life. This is what was in Matthew's mind. And when Christ said, come and follow me, he left all and followed him. And what came with this? He wore simple clothing. He became a wanderer, going from one place to another, not having a place to sleep. Complete change. Movement from the past to the future is an ongoing process in our life. God takes us from one stage of our life to the next. Listen to what St. Paul says to Colossians. He says, and having put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Put on the new man, renewed in knowledge according to the image of him that created him. Putting on here, this is something that we do once, which is baptism. And then renewed, this is something we do day by day. This is something we live in the present life. And this is something that happens all of our life. So we will live all of our life preparing for the change that God wants to do in our life. So, as I said, there are a few things that we need to forget in the past this year to look forward to a new one. The first is to forget the wounds and hurts that others have inflicted on you. Number two is to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself and the mistakes that you made in the past. And third, forget the sorrows and losses that maybe you incurred during this year. And how do I forget? We learned to be God-oriented, to be future-oriented, and to be prepared for change. May God grant this year to be one that is blessed and one that we will forget the past so we can move forward and go in our relationships with one another, heal any relationships, and heal our relationship with God so this year will be different than last. May God be glorified in His church and in your lives. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.